That's the title of this song, number 24, in the Mauls. Everybody stand. A Rose Among the Thorns.
While strolling through the field of time, there's many things to see, but nature is the greatest sight there could ever be. The greatest of them all to me is how the world was born, and why the roses have to live each day.
Good morning. We will sing from the Enjoyed that.
Yes.
Enjoyed all good songs this morning. It's good to sing about the Lord. And it's really good when you can feel His presence. Wonderful thing to feel His presence. Brother Luke Spurgeon was scheduled to preach today, and he's been scheduled another time. So you have to settle for less this morning. Haven't preached in a while. Alice asked me if I was on the way to the church, if I was all right. I said, yep, but I'll liable to forget my name. We both are forgetting a lot of stuff these days. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I appreciate the confidence in me. I want to use two verses of Scripture this morning from Psalms 121. The psalmist said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. I want us to, so to speak, lift up our eyes to the hills this morning. I think the psalmist was thinking about the hills around Jerusalem and good things that he'd seen happen there, and how he himself had been blessed many times. I think it's really good for us to look back in our lives to the good times, and it'll encourage us when the bad times are coming along. I think it's really good to look back to that day and night when the Lord saved your soul. Oh, yeah. I come accountable. I think I was 6 years old, and I was in front of a country store in the Siloam community of Macon County, about 2 miles east of Westmoreland. I was in front of that store, and there were 5 boys, the teenagers, were older than me quite a bit. And somebody had wrote an article in the paper, newspaper, about the second coming of the Lord. And those boys was discussing the coming of the Lord and what had been wrote in that paper. And boy, as they talked about the coming of the Lord, it really troubled me. I was just 6 years old, but I felt lost. They were talking about, you know, when the Lord comes back, the moon's going to turn his blood, sun black as sackcloth of hair. Men will be running, crying for the rocks and mountains to hide them from him that's sitting on the throne. There's going to be a great big judgment. All of them on the left will hear Jesus say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Oh, as they talked about that, I got in trouble. I was 6 years old. I felt lost. I had 2 dreams between that time and getting saved about the Lord coming again. I dreamed about the Lord coming again one night, and my mom was saying goodbye to me. You talk about an awful time, an awful dream. That was a terrible dream. I had another dream that the neighbors had gathered into our house, several neighbors, and they were sitting all around, and the Lord was coming, and they were talking about me. The Lord's coming, and Don's lost. I was sitting on the floor, we were back against the wall, and they were saying, Don's lost. That was an awful dream I had. But listen, if I hadn't got saved, it'd been about like that. But the night that I got saved, the preacher preached that night about the Lord coming again. He preached about the Lord coming again. And boy, I'm telling you, he did a good job. And I got in big, big trouble. I went to the altar and I prayed a long time. Finally, the church dismissed. And I went home and I prayed a while. Then I called my mom and dad out of bed to pray for me. And they prayed a while. And then they went back to bed. And I kept praying. And about midnight, I was in terrible condition. I was just all to pieces. I just thought, I'm going to hell. I'm going to die. I can die any time. I'm going to hell. But the Lord's coming back. And he's going to have me cast in hell any time. Oh, I was tore all to pieces. I remember I just surrendered. I remember looking up and I said, Lord, if I'm ever saved, you're going to have to do it. What I said didn't amount to nothing. But what I did amounted to a lot. I just put my soul in his hands. Amen. Oh, there was a calmness come over me. A minute ago, I was scared stiff. Then I wasn't afraid of nothing. Just calm as I could be. I had peace that the Bible calls peace past all understanding. It's a wonderful thing. If you've been saved, you need to look back there every once in a while and remember that. Oh, it's a wonderful time. And when things are going bad, you can remember what the Lord done for you and what he's going to do for you after a while, and things won't look as bad. It's a wonderful thing to be saved by God's grace. I hope if you're here today and lost and without God, that you'll understand today that you're lost and that you need Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. I want to turn my thoughts to some hills in the Bible. I want to first look at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where God gave Moses the law. Moses went up into Mount Sinai. And the Lord had him to make some stones, and God himself wrote the commandments on those rocks. Two of them. And he came down from the mountain, and Aaron and some of them was making gold calves and trying to worship them. And he got angry and threw them down and broke them. Well, he went back up there again. Went through the same thing God pinned on there, those Ten Commandments. And he come down this time, he didn't break them. Oh, we need to love the Lord's commandments, all of them. Now, I want to tell you, keeping the commandments don't save you. It can't save you. The reason it can't save you, one reason it can't save you, is because you're a sinner. You break them instead of keeping them. All have sinned, Paul says. Romans 3:23, he said, all sin comes short of the glory of God. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Apostle John, 1 John 1:8, he said, if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth of the matter is we're sinners and we can't keep the law. We need to try and do the best that we can. But we're not perfect. We have Adam's nature and we fail. So we don't need to be thinking the law can save us. If you're lost today, you don't need to be thinking you can live good and that will take care of you. Evidently, people that believe that thinks if they live good, keep this commandment over here today, it'll take care of them sins back there behind them, but it won't. A sin's a sin. And I've always said this. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We were born with Adam's sinful nature. And so we transgress. And when the Lord was here in the world, Pharisees and scribes thought they could be saved by keeping the law. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, he said, except your righteousness, see the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? We ought to love the law, though. Jesus talks about a Pharisee and a publican went up to the temple to pray. That old Pharisee told God how good he was. He said, God, I'm thankful that I'm not an extortioner, not unjust, not an adulterer, or I'm not like that old publican. I fast twice in a week and I give tithes of all I possess. Boy, he's telling God how good he was. Jesus said that old publican, he stood off. And he wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. And he smote up on his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, that man went away justified rather than the other. We ought to love the law. The law didn't save us, but we couldn't have been saved without it. You see, Jesus said, except you repent, you should all likewise perish. We had to repent of our sins. We had to realize we were sinners. Repent of our sins. The way that you know you're sinners is by the transgression of the law of God. You know that you're sinners when it says don't and you do, you have sinned. Well, it said he wasn't known to sin, but by the law. This Romans 7:7. Romans 7:9. He said, I was alive once without the law, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Oh, he's talking about hearing the commandment, realized he was a sinner, and he was separated, spiritually separated from God. He died spiritually. He didn't die a physical death, but he was separated from God. And I believe that man got saved on the road to Damascus. Yeah. Because he looked to Jesus. He looked to Jesus. I'll tell you. We need to do our best to keep the commandments. And we need to be thankful for them. And we need to teach them. But people don't need to think. That they can get saved that way. If you're lost today, there's one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. God's Son. God sent His Son into the world by the virgin birth. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived with God's Son, and Joseph was going to leave her, but the angel told him what was going on, and he was okay. It come time that there's to be taxed, and they went to Bethlehem. And down there, Jesus was born. Some say in the barn. I thought they think he was born probably what they call a sheepfold, a corral, where they kept their animals. And he was laid in a feeding trough for anger. Look. Jesus was born a lowly life. They left there and they carried him back to Galilee, to Nazareth. And Jesus lived up there 30 years, known as the carpenter's son, but he wasn't the carpenter's son. He was the Son of God. Son of God. When he was about 30 years old, Mark says he was about 30, he came down to John the Baptist to be baptized. He came to John because John is the one God sent. That's who ought to be baptizing people. The ones that God sent. He went to John. John felt like it ought to be the other way. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so that it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. John baptized him when he came forth up out of the water. The heavens opened, the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and God the Father spoke out from heaven and said, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." Jesus is God's Son. He was well pleased with him there because he hadn't sinned yet, and he never would. After he was baptized with John, he went out into the hills, up in there, into the wilderness. There he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I can't imagine going without food 40 days and 40 nights. But he did. Out there alone, when he was weak, when he was hungry, the devil came to him. And he said, "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Jesus didn't turn the stones into bread. He said to the devil, he said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God." Well, the devil took him to another hill, Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where the temple was, where Solomon built a temple. He set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, up high. And as he said, "If you be the Son of God, cast his own, for it is written." The angel has been given care over you that you wouldn't bash your foot against a stone. He said, "It's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then the scripture says that he carried Jesus up into exceedingly high mountain. Don't know what mountain that was, but exceedingly high mountain, says. And he showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms." Jesus said, "It's written, I shall have no other gods before me. Oh, no other God shall you serve." Listen. Jesus was tempted in like manner as we are, but he didn't give in, folks. He was strong all of his life. After the devil tempted him, and he couldn't get him to sin, he went and left him alone. After that, Jesus began his personal ministry. He's preaching his own gospel for 3.5 years. It's hard to imagine. Jesus was going everywhere, doing good things, healing the sick, miraculously healing the sick, making the lame to walk, miraculously making the lame to walk, making the blind to see. And he even raised some dead back to life. They were seeing. They were seeing all these good things that was Jesus doing. And a lot of people believed in him. But there was lots of people that didn't. And they gave him trouble all of his ministry. He had a hard time before he ever got to Calvary. They give him a hard time. And they wanted to kill him before they did. But it wasn't going to happen until time came. He preached his own gospel for 3.5 years. Many, many rejected him and him doing all those good things. I don't understand. But one day on another hill called Mount of Olives, across the valley from Mount Moriah. That's where the temple's at. Up there on that hill called Mount of Olives, he sent his disciples to get a colt. They went and got a colt and brought it. They put their clothes on it, put Jesus on that colt, this little colt. He didn't ride in on a white charger or nothing. Rode in on a little coat. And they were saying, who is this? But his disciples up there on the mountain, I've been up there, and we're right on the top of Mount of Olives, you're looking right down on Jerusalem. And we started down, and they were with him. Oh, they were shouting, they were praising God, saying, hallelujah! Oh, they were having a good time. And some there said, quieten them down. He said, if they do, rocks cry out my name. He made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He went in there. Went in there to die. He called out his apostles and established a church up there in the hills. One of his apostles, named Judas, he went to the high priest, sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He told him he'd carry him and let him know who Jesus was. So Jesus and his disciples often went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went there and was praying. Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, because he was going to have to go to Calvary. He went off three times praying the same things. But after a while, Judas came, and he told him he'd betray him with a kiss, and he came and he kissed Jesus, and the priests, his servants came with swords and staves like he was a common criminal. And he asked them why they did this. And he's up there in the temple preaching to them. They didn't have swords and staves. They'd seen him preaching, and they'd seen him doing miraculous things. Still, they come after him with swords and staves. They carried Jesus to the high priest. They treated him awful. The priest and his servants. They spit on him. The Old Testament says they plucked his beard. He was treated awful. They blindfolded him. And the scripture says they would smack him and say, prophesy. If you be the Son of God, prophesy who it is that smote you. He wouldn't say anything. It says they did that. So several of them did that. Smack him. Who? Prophesy who it is that smote you. He went through that. But then the scripture said they buffeted him. Buffeting was mean. They beat him up with their fists. And I want you to notice that word they. You think it would be bad if just one of them had beat him up with their fists. But it says they beat him up with their fists. Those people there that were smacking him and telling him to prophesy who he was that smote him. All of those, that bunch, they every one was beating Jesus with their fists. Jesus in bad shape before he ever went to Calvary. They couldn't get nothing out of him. They carried him to Pilate. Pilate's wife come, warned him not to do anything with this just man. She had many problems and dreams about him. But they saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate asked him, what's this man done? He ought to be crucified, worthy of. And they say, crucify him. Can you imagine all those people that saw him doing those miraculous things still wanted Jesus crucified? That's hard to understand how that could be so bad. It was custom that Pilate that time of the year would turn loose one of the Jewish prisoners. And they brought Barabbas. And he was a murderer. And he asked them, shall we turn loose of Barabbas or shall we turn loose Jesus? They said, turn loose Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Can you imagine? Let the murder go. Crucify Jesus. Hard to imagine. Pilate, he's just going to wash his hands of the whole thing. He washed his hands in front of them. So he's going to wash his hands of this whole deal. And then he took a scourge. Scourge was a whip with a handle so long and the leather strips tied to it. And in the end of that leather strips was tied bones and metal. And when he beat Jesus, that would take out a flash. Jesus was bleeding before Calvary. He scourged him. He said he's washing hands of it. But he scourged him. Then he turned him over to the soldiers. And the soldiers carried him out there. They pulled his clothes off and they put a scarlet robe on him. And they made a crown out of thorns placed on his head. And they mocked him, made fun of him as King of the Jews. King of the Jews, mocking him, spitting on him, making fun of him. They did that for a while. Then they called Father Simon of Cyrene to carry Jesus' cross up to Calvary. He carried the cross up there, up on that hill called Calvary. When it's mentioned or sung about that old rugged cross, I don't see crosses, I see Calvary. I can see that hill because I've seen it. Been there. Oh. Folks, they just treated him awful. Up there on that hill, they nailed two thieves to the crosses. And they nailed Jesus to the cross in between the two thieves. And there was crowds up there. And they were going around and around. They were wagging their heads and saying, if he be the Son of God, let him get himself down. He saved others, let him save himself. And the truth is that God could have saved him way back there. He could have called him home. But he wanted to save us. Jesus could have left way back there when he was treating him bad during his ministry, but he didn't. He wanted to save us. When they were spitting on him, beating him up, when the Pilate was scourging, he could have killed, just took the speaking, took Pilate out, went home, but he didn't. He loved us! Can you imagine how much love he had? He hung up there on that cross and then making fun of him. Two old thieves gave him a hard time for a little bit, and then one of them, it was much going on and they were saying so much, and he was one of them become a believer. He began speaking to Jesus, and that other one got on his case, and he said to that one, he said, we deserve this. This man ain't done nothing. And he called on Jesus. He said, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus there on the cross saved an old thief. He said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Oh, I'm telling you what. I'm glad that Jesus didn't come down. I'm glad that he loved us enough to suffer and die for us, because we couldn't have been saved any other way. I'm thankful that the Father gave his Son. My favorite verse is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ooh-wee. God loved us dearly. I want to carry you back. Genesis 22. God give Abraham a son in his old age. He did. Unnatural thing at his age. But that son grew to be a boy. His name was Isaac. And one day God said, Abraham, take Isaac to Mount Moriah. That's his hill. Where the temple was. To take Isaac out to Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. The temple wasn't there then. Long before the temple was there. But Abraham took Isaac And he started toward Marah. And when they got inside of Marah, he told his servants to stay right here. And Eliab and I go and we'll offer a sacrifice and we'll come back. He believed if he took his life, I think, that God could raise him from the dead. Abraham was a real believer. But God had asked an awful lot of him. Go to Moriah. Abraham went to Moriah. He built an altar. And he laid wood on that altar. Isaac said, here's the altar in the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. But he bound Isaac and he laid him on that altar. And he took a knife, was going to take his life. And the angel stayed his hand. He didn't have to offer his son that day. There's a ram hung in its horns and trees. He brought that ram out there and sacrificed it. Listen, God asked a great deal of Abraham. Can you imagine what it would be like for God to ask you to offer your son as a sacrifice? Take his life and burn him on an old. Like that. That's a terrible thing that God asked Abraham to do. But listen, God gave his son at Calvary. During the Vietnam War, I came in from work one day, and my wife said there'd been a military car in the neighbor's yard and drive. And we talked it over, and we both believed that they'd sent the military to tell my neighbor that his son had died in Vietnam. Oh, we were right. Neighbor's son died in Vietnam that night. We went up to his house, and there's a lot of neighbors up there and family that heard about it, and they all come in there. And they were in the house, they were mourning, and we were all mourning with them. It's a great thing, it's a hard thing realize that your sons died in the war, and there's been many of them died in the war. But listen, God gave his son at Calvary. Listen. God loved his son. He loved him dearly. Jesus volunteered to come and he sent him. Oh, Jesus gave his life and God gave his son that we could have life and have life everlasting. As I stand behind this pulpit today, I am thankful for God's son. I'm thankful for the Lord God Almighty that gave his son. That died at Calvary, that we could have life everlasting. After Jesus died at Calvary, the third day he arose. I've seen the tomb. Joseph, one of his disciples, a rich man, gave him his tomb that was been hewed out. And a rock, a wall, a rough wall, just rock, and rock down here. Joseph claimed the body of Jesus, and Pilate let him have him, and he went out there and buried him in his new tomb. On the third day, 3 days and three nights, and Jesus come out of that. Oh, he was seen by his apostles and a lot of other people. Then he summons them back to the hill where he established his church. Jesus established his church on a hill up there above the Sea of Galilee. There's a little village on the west side of the Sea of Galilee up near the north end. And up on the hill there, Jesus established his church. Set the apostles into it. He organized it to operate without his physical presence. And then after he was crucified and rose, he met with his disciples up there on that same hill. And he gave them that great commission to go into all nations, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Oh, I want to tell you something right here. The Lord established his church up there on that hill, and he commissioned it to the world. We ought to love this church. We ought to love all the Lord's churches. Oh, when he built his church and sent it out into the world, he was sending us the message. Paul said, it was Romans 10:17, he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Without hearing the word of God, we've never been saved. Without hearing the word of God, Jesus could have gave his life for us up there. We'd never known him. We could have never been saved. But the church was sent into the world that we could hear it. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:15, he said, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And it is. It's everything out there in the world. But the Lord's church is still the pillar and the ground of the truth. This old church soon be celebrating 100 years of existence. Listen, people have been members of this church all those years, and the word's been going out. Jesus died for you. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord sent his church into the world. I'm thankful that those old brothers and sisters all the way back to the Lord, lots of them gave their lives, were persecuted. During the Dark Ages, scholars estimate that 50 million died. Anabaptists, they call them, that's theirs. They died. Listen, many, many gave their lives besides Jesus that the word could go out and that we could hear it. And thanks to Jesus and God being with those old folks all the way along, God was with them. And they brought us the message. And we were able to hear it, believe it, repent of our sins, trust the Lord, and be saved. I'm thankful today for all of that. I mentioned one hill that I'd like to go back to. I mentioned Mount of Olives and Jesus making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Wouldn't it have been fun to have been there that day with Jesus and been shouting and praising him like they were? Oh, it's great to be in church and have a hallelujah meeting in it. I love to be in spiritual services when you can feel the presence of God. Oh, so I was thinking back in my ministry, I told you to look back in your life. Look back there when the Lord blessed you, and it'll help you off the difficult times ahead. I remember in my early ministry, I pastored in Maple Grove, up just outside of Lafayette, just outside the city limits. And there's another church that they call Williams, I guess about 4 miles from there. They called me for a revival. And the first night of that revival, there's a girl got saved. The second night, there was a girl got saved. And the rest of the week, through Saturday night, that revival was dead. I mean, it was cold as kraut, so to speak. We're cold. But when I got home that Saturday night, I guess I was praying about it. And I pray when I go to bed. And the Lord let me know that meeting was going to break out. Boy, I went back that night. I preached at Maple Grove Sunday morning. I went back to the revival on a Sunday night. I was to preach there. Went in the back door, and the pastor was with me. And he wanted to talk about breaking the meeting. And I said, hey, we better wait, see how this goes. And so he didn't say any more. The service started, and then I got up to preach. And I hadn't been preaching in about 10 minutes. But people were shouting all over that house. I'm telling you, folks, I think I don't have one doubt in the world. Everybody in the house was shouting and rejoicing but lost people. You talk about a meeting. I've never seen that before. Everybody in the house shouting and rejoicing. I've never seen that. But they were. And it wasn't just that they were rejoicing. Oh, it went on for 2 hours just like that. All of those people rejoicing, shouting, praising God for 2 hours. Everybody but lost people. That cold meeting wasn't cold no more. That meeting went on another week. 13 more got saved. It's good to look back there. It's good to be in spiritual meetings. It's good to have God's presence and feel them anytime. Any service is good if you can feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, I thank God that He comes by and visits with us. And time to time we feel His presence. Those good times help us to truck along in the bad times. Oh, I told you, I carried you back here to Mount of Olives and all of that. But, you know, He was making His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But one day He's coming back, and He's going to call all His saints. Ones that have died are going to be reunited with their bodies. But those bodies will be new. They'll be spiritual. They'll be like Jesus, perfect, inside and out. All that are alive when Jesus come that are saved will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And, oh, we're going to make a great meeting, a great entry with Jesus into the holy hills of heaven. What a wonderful time it's going to be when we come inside of that gold city. Oh, wall, precious stones, gates of pearl, a place where there's no practicing doctors. All they say is doctors are not practicing it there. There's no sick. And there's no cemeteries, no funeral home. Nobody dies because God has given us eternal life. And we'll live in that beautiful place forevermore. If you're lost this morning, you need Jesus. He is the Savior. There is none other. If you don't know you're a sinner, I've told you, all of a sudden come short of the glory of God. There's many scriptures. I believe one of the psalmists said, He come forth from the womb speaking lies. Yeah, you need Jesus. Without Jesus, you're not going with us to that beautiful place where everything's just right, but you're going to a devil's hell where everything's terrible. Jesus compared it to a furnace. You know, you read about three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being cast into that furnace and huge furnace. Oh, that must have been terrible, but they weren't allowed to burn, didn't even get the clothes and nothing, because God was with them. But imagine how it'd be there, and your literal burning, it'd be awful. But Jesus said that, it's like a furnace. In Revelations 20 and 15, it says, hell is like a lake of fire. He said it is a lake of fire. When I think about a lake of fire, I think about that old sun ball that's up there. The sun's not hail, it's the sun. But that proves that it can make a hail. And look, you talk about flames are miles and miles high up there on that sun. Science says 93 million miles away from us, yet we can get sunburned here just being out in the sun. Oh, I'm telling you what, hell's an awful place. But Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Brother, let's have a song. Jesus is a Savior. Nothing else is. Nobody else can help you. When you give up on everything else, you turn to Him and trust Him. He will save you. I'd like to extend you an altar call today. Come here in this altar. This altar won't save you. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus can save you right here. It's a good place to get saved. Been a lot of people saved here. But you come here and the people can gather around you and pray with you. We'd like for you to come today and seek your soul salvation and get saved. Let's stand together and sing, if you're lost, come to this altar.
165.
Seek the Lord.